start tonight with verse 21 of Proverbs chapter 31, and we're teaching on the subject, how to choose a wife, or things for which you ought to look as you seek a wife, or, if you are a wife or a young lady, things you ought to be if you're going to attract the right kind of young man, or, if you're a mother or father, things that you ought to teach your daughter to be so that she'll marry the right kind of young man. Let us bow for prayer and ask God to help us. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to the teaching of Thy Word, we pray that You'd help us to not only know the Bible, but know how to better live our lives as we journey toward heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, any young lady, or shall I say almost any young lady, wants someday to have a husband, a family, and a home. And, of course, she wants to have a happy home and a happy family and a loving husband. Any young man, or almost any young man, would want to have a happy marriage, a loving wife, and a happy home. Now, such things, as is the case in every good thing, do not come cheaply or easily. Anything that's worthwhile costs something, and the more it's worth, the more it costs. Now, if you're going to have a happy home, it is infinitely better to prepare that kind of home before you marry than wait till after you marry and then try to correct it. There is no day that passes when I'm at home all day where I do not get some calls or visits from people who are having problems at home. Yesterday, I had, I think, 3 people contacted me about home problems. Today, I had 2 contact me about home problems. It's the same way all the time. Now, to be sure, we can help some. I try to help, and I want to help. After folks have been married, and after they've gotten in trouble, and after they've had have unhappy homes, we can help some to help some of the homes be happy. But I have no magic wand that I can wave over your home and guarantee that you'll be happy. However, I do have a guarantee to those of you that are not married yet. If you've not yet chosen your mate, I can help you by showing you what the Bible says about the kind of mate that you ought to choose. Before I go into tonight, I want to digress just a bit, however, and answer a question that someone asked me a week or two ago. They said, Pastor, you have mentioned the fact that woman was made for man. The fact that God did not look down, and you've heard me say this again and again, God did not look down one day and see a house that was dirty and said, I think I'll make someone to clean the house. If that be the case, then woman was not made first or basically or primarily to be a housekeeper. God did not look down one day and see some children that needed caring for, and God said, I think I'll seek something to take care of those children. God did not say that. Though it is a certain responsibility for a woman to take care of her children and to clean the house. But I said that the basic purpose of God making woman in the first place was for man. And I said that woman that does not fulfill this purpose does not fulfill her purpose in life. Now, somebody asked me this question. I think it's interesting. They said, Pastor, I never have married. I just never have married. I'm a lady, but I've never married. Now, am I not fulfilling God's purpose in life? I'm not living just to satisfy my husband because I have no husband. Now, am I out of the will of God? Did God make me for a man? If so, where is he? But the purpose of my life. Now, let me say, the purpose of your life is the same as if you had married. God made woman to supplement man. Now, if God did not give you a man, then that means that you do not supplement any one particular man. But God still made you to supplement man. Let's suppose for a few moments, if you would, please, fellas, that in the office we had no lady helpers. Let's suppose that Brother Hand and Brother Fisk and Brother Terry and myself, we were the only ones that worked in the office. We wouldn't have any ivy. We wouldn't have any flowers. We wouldn't have any decoration. In fact, it'd be a miserable mess if we had no ladies in the office. There are times when I think it'd be a happy mess, but it'd be a miserable mess. Now, the truth is, any man, mankind in general needs womankind in general if one of the mankind never gets hooked up with one of the womankind. Now, let me illustrate. You take Maxine Jeffries, for example. Maxine is never married. But now Maxine does a great deal to help the male gender. She can invest her life in men or in the work of men who do serve God in a real way. Maxine goes to a home, for example, to see a shut-in. She takes a bouquet of flowers, and here's what she says. Brother Hiles sent me to give you this bouquet of flowers. Now, what is Maxine doing? She's doing what any wife would do, the same thing any wife would do, in the fact that she is taking the back seat and she is exalting the work of a man. You see what I mean? So she, too, is fulfilling her purpose in life. It was so happened it was not Maxine that asked me this, so I'm sure she wanted to. There are others of you, many others of you, that have never married. I think personally most of you would have made wonderful wives. But the fact that you are not married does not mean that you are not to be a help to man, because you still are made to supplement man and his responsibilities on the earth. Now back to our discussion for tonight. What kind of a woman should you marry? We discussed several things last Wednesday night. Let's review a few of them. Young people in the choir, do you have some written down? Give me one thing that a young man's supposed to look for in a wife. Raise your hand, I'll call on you. All right? Choose someone who's intelligent. There goes your chances. All right? What else? Raise your hand. Someone you can trust. What else? Give me another. Anybody? All right? Someone to be good to you? That's a good one. Someone who has good health habits? That's a good one. Someone who has concern for children. And there are others we discussed last week. Now I want to give you several for this week. Things for which you ought to look as you seek a wife, or things that you ought to be if you want a husband that's the right kind of a husband. Verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Now, I think we left off about here last week. We mentioned the word scarlet means double scarlet. Her household are clothed with double scarlet. That means that she provides for her children clothing. But more than that, she provides for her children ample clothing when it's cold on the outside. When the freeze comes in the wintertime, she's not caught unprepared. She has the warm garments all prepared. She has the long flannels all laid out. She has the coats all cleaned and all ready to go. She clothes her children with double, or with scarlet, or with double scarlet. In other words, she makes provisions for the children. Now, here's what I want you to write down. Choose someone that you would be willing to be the mother of your children. Now, I want you to write that down, boys. Choose a wife whom you would be willing to be the mother of your children. Now, if you would not marry anyone like this, you should not go with anyone like this. You should choose someone that would be a good mother, and you should picture them as being the mother of your children. Now, if you go with a girl, I would suggest you not even go with a girl unless you think she would be a good mother to your children. Now, you're going to love some little boys and girls one of these days. There's going to be a little fellow that's going to look to you and call you daddy. And he's going to be the apple of your eye coming to church tonight. My boy David drove with me. I had drink two cars. And the girls rode with Becky, and David rode with me. And we got to hitting each other. We're always fighting. And I clobbered him real good on the shoulder. He said, "That hurts." He said, "Let's quit." And about the time I thought he was quit, he clobbered me on the shoulder. And I said, "Uh-oh, I owe you one." He said, "No, we're even now." I said, "No, we're not even till I'm one ahead." And so I clobbered him back. And so he said, "I don't want to fight." I said, "I know, but I do." So he just hauled off and whaled me good. He doubled up his fist. And instead of hitting like that, he hit like that. Right, and it's right there. It's still sore. Feel that when I touch it? You feel that? And does that hurt? It's still sore. And I should have married some terrible woman to so he'd have had an awful mother, as mean as he is to me. But there's going to be a day when some little fella is going to capture you. He's going to look at you and say, "Da da da da," and you're going to say, "That's the finest boy I ever saw." And it's going to break your heart if you have a wife that'll not be a good wife or a good mother to that boy. I got a letter today from some very fine people along this very line. A man had married a lady that was not a good mother, and she had had more influence over the children than he could have, because she had them all day, you see. And he wanted to rhythm for God, and she didn't want to. And he wanted them to live right, and she didn't want them to. And he wanted to train them to live for Christ, and she didn't like it. And so now the boys are going off, in some cases, into sin, or at least a little cold and away from God, because of the fact that the fella married someone that would not make a good mother. Now, look, just because she'll make you a good wife doesn't mean she'll be a good mother. Just because she has those pretty earrings and Max Factor on her eyes, and that does not mean she'll make a good mother. Now, I'm going to say in a few minutes that you ought to choose a pretty woman, but I'm going to say right now that you ought to also choose someone who will make your children a good mother. And girls, listen to me. You ought to start now planning and training and preparing to be a mother. It would be a tragedy and a shame. I'll go further. It'd be a sin for you to get married and know nothing about motherhood. That's one reason why I think little girls ought to play with dolls as young as they can. Now, somebody said not long ago to me, said, did you know that dolls were started, made idols, and idols of... Well, my little girl doesn't bow down and worship her dolls. And so I think it's a wonderful thing for a little girl to have dolls. I think it's a good thing for a big girl to have dolls. I don't think it's too good for a big boy to have too many dolls. But I do think it's a good thing for a little girl. The other day I was out visiting, and a little fella about 5 years old brought a little old doll. I don't know if it was a Shirley Temple or what, but a little doll. I want to take it and hit it over his mother's head. Get him a baseball glove. Well, my boy wasn't out of the maternity ward, for I had him a bat and ball and a bicycle. But a girl ought to be taught. Listen, this matter of homosexuality starts a lot earlier than you think it does. This matter of boys not being boys and girls not being girls. If your girl starts to play baseball when she's 3 years old and climb trees and be Batman, then you get her a doll and tell her to be a girl. If your boy gets a doll when he's three, you tell him to be Batman and climb trees and get him a baseball bat. I'm simply saying that you ought to train your girls, and girls, you ought to train early. Play house. Have dolls. And then as you grow up, watch the way your mother does things. Learn how to cook. Learn how to take care of the children. I think it's good for older girls to have some concern about the younger children in the house. Babysit for the younger ones. Help mother with the younger ones. I think it's good for a teenage girl to help rear the rest of the children and prepare yourself to be a mother. Why is it a doctor would go to school 9 years to learn to be a doctor, and a preacher would go to school 7 or 8 years to prepare himself for the pastorate, and even a veterinarian would go to... How long do veterinarians go to school? I guess what? How long? 7 years? To learn how to take tonsils out of a pickaninny. And yet, you girls get married to start the most important vocation that a young lady can have and don't know a thing about being a mother. You ought to read books about being a mother. You ought to study being a mother. If you're going to be a housewife, you ought to be an expert at it. And you ought to be an expert at motherhood. And so I simply say, young men, be careful as you choose a wife. Choose someone that you'd be happy to be the mother of your children. Now look at verse 22, please. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Now, we've made just a mention about this, but I want you to write something else down about it. And that is, choose someone whose appearance you can be proud of. Choose someone whose appearance you can be proud of. You say that means choose a living doll. No, doesn't mean that necessarily. It does mean, however, that you ought to choose someone that you think is pretty. I don't think you ought to choose a wife unless you've got to look at her. And if you don't like the looks of her when she's got her face on, you dead sure not going to like the looks of her when she takes it off. So I suggest you choose someone that attracts you, the one that is pretty. Now, the fortunate thing about this is that different people have different things that attract them. Some people like fat women. And some like skinny women. And some like those that are neither hot nor cold, but that are medium, neither fat nor are skinny, but are just medium. And some like blondes. And some like brunettes. And some like redheads. I was asking Brother Terry the other day. I said, do you like redheads, blondes, brunettes? He said, yes. And, but now, all people, funny thing. I think that brunettes are beautiful. I think brunettes are beautiful. Now, I think I've seen some redhead ladies that are very beautiful. But funny thing to me, my wife's a blonde, and I guess every girl I went with was a blonde. Now, I'm not saying, now, look, you folks at Brunette, don't get mad and join some other church because I said you're an ugly duckling. I think you're just as gorgeous as you can be. But I'm married to a blonde, and I chose a blonde. Blondes have more fun. And so says the commercial. But some men, you blondes are beautiful to you, except that to you just rather really have a brunette. And some would rather have someone that was red-haired. But what I'm saying is this. You don't have to choose the doll of the high school or the college or the office, but choose someone whose appearance you can be proud of. Now, let me go a step further in beauty. You watch the little things. Young ladies, I hope I'm all tied it up here, but if I were choosing a husband, for example, I'd watch his shoes. A person that does not take care of little things is a person that will not take care of big things, because big things are only an accumulation of little things. All right, ladies, check your husband out. Look at his shoes. Everybody at one time, one at a time, you're looking at your husband's shoes. A man that won't take care of his shoes, he might not take care of his wife. I would watch his fingernails, and I'd watch the young lady's fingernails. Okay, go ahead. Everybody look at your husband and wife's fingernails. I'd check and see if he combs his hair or powders his head, whichever the case may be. I'd check to see. The little things. I believe you can tell more about a person from the external appearance than anyone ever dare realizes. A person that won't keep his shoes clean might not keep his, a lady that won't keep her shoes clean might not keep her floor clean. I'd suggest that you look at their ears and see if they're clean. I'd suggest that you look at the little, look, for example, now I'm not going to seed on this, but I do think it's important. I think a man that does his best to have his socks and shoes or his socks and tie match or have his socks fit in with his outfit, I think it's a better risk. He's interested in little things. You see, it's a little thing to open the car door for your wife. It's a little thing to help your wife with her coat on. And if a fellow is not careful about little things in one way, he may not be careful about little things in another way. And that's why it's so important, fellas, when I choose a wife, I choose someone that's very careful about personal appearances. I know preachers, for example, who have ability and talent, and they love God, but they never have learned yet to press their trousers or have them pressed. And there's always right here a big bag. It always sticks out right there. That's because the big bag didn't take the big bag and press it. That's because he got the wrong big bag when he married her. And he's got bags in the neck. I'm simply saying, look, I say to the staff, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. If it's not worth doing right, it's not worth doing. No matter how big it is or how little it is, we ought to take care and do it properly and do it right. People ought to be careful how they dress. I don't mean you ought to be, Dr. Tom Malone said one time, I heard him preaching, and he said, and you know how he talks with his raspy voice. He said, there's anything I can't stand. There's anything that just makes me mad. There's anything that makes me want to fight. It makes me want to see blood. It's a man that's dressed with everything just right. Now, I guess a man ought to have a few mistakes, but I do think, especially in a lady, a young man ought to watch her personal appearance. Now, look, I have been for, and one of the reasons I can preach like this is because I did a good job picking a wife. You know I did. But I'm simply saying that I introduced my wife. I took her 2 weeks ago, where I'm going to take Becky to Bob Jones University. Are your shoes shined there? To Bob Jones University. And I was so pleased to introduce my wife to the people at Bob Jones University. My colleagues in the ministry, my friends, people that I had known for these years that never met Mrs. Hyams. I was so pleased. One of the buzzards came up and said after the service, how'd no guy like you get a young wife like that? And I'll never take her again on any other trip where I go. But anyway, I'm proud of my wife, and you want to be proud of yours. And you want to have a lady that not only is pretty and attractive, but one that takes care of herself and keeps her person up so that you'll be proud to call her your wife. So she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Now, verse 23 is another one. Her husband is known in the gate when he sitteth among the elders of the land. All right, now write this down. One who fights for your rights. One who fights for your rights.
A lady said to me not long ago, she's having a problem in her home. She said, I'm having a problem with my husband. And I said, what's the trouble? She said, well, we're having trouble and I'm going to fight for my rights. I said, that's your trouble. That's your trouble. A lady ought to fight for her husband's rights. Now, how's a fella going to tell? When you go with a girl, how are you going to tell whether she's going to let you be known in the gates or not? I'm looking at the wrong crowd. Fellas, how are you going to tell? I mean, you go out with a girl, how can you tell? Okay, here's how you can tell. You watch very carefully whether she rejoices or not when good things happen to others. If her best friend gets elected to an office at school and she says she's the luckiest thing in the world, then I suggest you consider another girlfriend. If something good happens to a friend, suppose there's one of the girls, she gets two or three new outfits, and your girlfriend says, well, she ought to, her daddy's a banker, then you watch her. You see, if she won't rejoice when her friends have something good happen to them, she won't rejoice when you have something good happen to you. Now, fellas, if you want to choose the right kind of wife, you be careful to choose someone who rejoices at the successes of others. I think that the epitome of selfishness is someone who can't rejoice when something good happens to somebody else. You ought to learn to rejoice with others, and you ought to pick a husband or a wife, and especially a wife, who has the desire to see you promoted and not herself. So you get all the attention. You get to go out all the time. I stay here with these little brats day in. Watch out. She'll not make you a good wife. Watch out. If she cannot rejoice when others have things good happen to them, she's a lucky dog. She has a car and I don't have one. Let me stop to say right here. Many, many a young lady had her downfall when mom and daddy bought her a car. Now, you say, preacher, this is 20th century. Okay, we got some sorry kids in 20th century, too. I'll tell you another thing, too, and I'm not against your teenagers, but many a young boy made his downfall when daddy and mama got him a car too young, too. My daughter said to me the other day, said, when am I going to get me a car? I'm going to driver's license next year. When am I going to get me a car? I said, whenever he'll buy it for you. She said, who? I said, your husband. She said, you mean I'm never going to get a car? I said, I don't know. Ask him. But I'll say this. As long as you live in my roof, your chances are very dim. I may buy you an airplane or a motorcycle, but never a car. Now, that's digression. But I'm saying, well, she's a lucky stiff. She got a new car. Her folks just, oh, how lucky she is. Watch out. No, if she says, oh, she got a new dress and I'm so glad for her, then that's the good sign. She'll be glad for you when something good happens to you, too. You choose one that you think will exalt you. Now, here's the reason. Mrs. Bill Rice puts it so beautifully when she said, the only way that you can ever be a queen is to make your husband a king. Don't you like that? A lot of you ladies, you browbeat that fella and browbeat him and you want to be a queen. No, you won't be a queen. You done killed the king. Until you put the king on his throne, you won't be a queen. And I'll say this too, you'll be a flopping wife if you put the king on his throne. You're not a good wife unless you exalt your husband. You ought to want him to be known in the gates. What it says right here said, her husband is known in the gate when he said it among the elders of the land. But there's something else I want you to notice too in verse 23, and that's the fourth thing about her tonight, and that is choose one your business friends will appreciate. Choose a wife your business friends will appreciate. And young ladies, you be the kind whom your husband introduced to his associates in business or his friends at work without being embarrassed. Suppose that I took my wife down to Bob Jones University and I said, Dr. Jones, I want you to meet my wife. And she said, hee-hee. Huh? That's the kind some of you fellows are going to get. That's the kind you're going to get. Suppose that she didn't know how to dress or didn't know how to behave or didn't know how to be gracious and charming. Well, I'd be ashamed. And I wouldn't want to take her with me because I want to be proud of her. And you ought to choose someone
that your business friends and your associates will appreciate. Verse 25 is the next one. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Write this down. Choose a wife who's honest. Choose a wife who's honest. A fellow said to me not long ago about his girlfriend. He said, I love her, and I'm going to marry her. He said, I have one little thing I'm worried about. And I said, what? He said, she lies to me. Little thing, nothing. That's a whopper. That's a whopper. Look, fellas, if you find your girlfriend a lie, you trade her in for a truthful girlfriend.
But you say she's so pretty.
Okay, then don't look at her. If you don't see her, she won't look pretty to you. You have to see them for her to look pretty. Trade her in. You say, well, Hounds, I just believe after we get married, I can trust her then. No, you can't. No, you can't. You choose someone whose word means something. And let me stop and say right here, a person is not worth the salt, the powder it takes to blow him up, unless his word is as good as his signature. When you say, I'll pay you, that'll be as good as your name on the note. I sort of missed, and this is one thing about where I came from. Everybody likes where he came from, but this one, when I came from, you didn't have to sign a note. You know, I've been here over 7 years, and I go to the bank, sometimes the banker asks me to fill out a statement of worth. A statement of worth. Put a sheet of paper like this, and just put a zero on it, like that, and said, there's my statement of worth. But I said, if I say I'll pay you, and you know I will. And I got the money. But where I came from, my banker said, anytime you want any money, you call me, I'll send you the money, and the next time you drop by, you can sign the note. Now, one reason why, because folks were honest in that town. Not everybody. But they knew who was honest. And your word ought to be as good as your signature, and your signature ought to be as good as the money in the bank. And so, choose someone who's honest. It says here, strength and honor are her clothing. In other words, she's more concerned about strength and honor than she is beautiful clothing, though that's good too. I think beautiful clothing is acceptable. God made ladies to be pretty, but not just to be pretty. Now, let me stop here. Listen carefully. There's nothing wrong with a lady wanting to be pretty or a young man. For example, if I were you girls in the choir here, and there was some boy out here, or some boy up here, or some boy that comes to church here, or some other boy that I wanted to get my claws into, you know, I don't mean to scratch him. I mean you want him. And you're working trying to get him. I think it's okay to buy a nice dress, as long as it's modest, and say, I hope you'll like this. I hope you'll notice me now when I wear this. As long as it's modest, not immoral, I think it's okay. Young lady, they come to me often. And some of them are here right now and married and got young'uns too. And they say to me, Brother Hiles, I want to get married. What can I do? Then no boys around here my age or so, or no boys around here I'm interested in? I said, he's going to go fishing. Where would you go? Out in the desert? No. Where would you go? We'd go down where the fish are. Well, I said, why don't you go to Tennessee Temple or Bob Jones University where all the fish are then? And not flirt, but pray God to give you a fine young man. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with a young lady being sweet. And I don't mean overly friendly, and I don't mean flirtatious, but I mean being sweet and kind and dressing right and taking care of her hair and her appearance. So God will give her a fine Christian young man. But there's something more to it than that. Strength and honor are more important than that. Let me tell you what I've said before here. There's a certain lady in this church that my wife thinks is the prettiest thing. Now, the truth is, this lady is not really a beautiful lady, as she wouldn't win a beauty contest as beauty contests go. But my wife thinks she's the prettiest thing. She really does. And my wife said the other day, said that is the prettiest woman. And really, if you looked at her features, you wouldn't say she's a beauty queen. And last time I told this story, every one of you thought I was talking about you, didn't you? Because you're all so ugly, you thought that I'm that ugly one she thinks is pretty. No, that's not it. But this lady, really, honestly, her personality and her sweetness and her disposition and her kindness and her Christian virtue and her charm and grace has overpowered whatever lack of physical beauty she might have until she's actually physically pretty. Though she's not physically pretty. You see what I mean? You know, I don't know what I mean either. But I'm sure that my wife, honey, would you come and explain this to me, please? But that's the truth. And my wife said it just the other day. Said, isn't she beautiful? And I said, no. Yeah? Well, no and yeah. What I mean? I mean that there's some beauty that makes you pretty apart from physical beauty. I could point to some ladies here tonight. I'm talking about older ladies and younger ladies. That I don't think you're too pretty when it comes to just downright being pretty as the world counts beautiful. But you're such sweet Christians, and you have a sweet smile, and you're such personable people, and you're so kind, and you're a good Christian, and you have charm and Christian grace and poise and character and honesty and strength and integrity. And I think you're just real attractive. The reason I do is because you've got the beauty that God gives you. That's important. And so, be honest. Choose an honest one. Now verse 25 again. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Now, the word rejoice there means a little bit more than just she someday she'll be happy. It really means she has a good sense of humor. She has a good sense of humor. Choose a young lady who has a good sense of humor. Do you go with a girl? when you tell her a joke, she wondered what you meant by that. For example, some of you fellas are going to go home tonight, you're going to say, Miss House, you think you're pretty. And your wife's going to say, well, now I know what you think about me. And you're going to say, if I'd have just heard Brother Hiles before I married her. Just, Brother Hiles came 20 years too late for me. Now, the kind I think I'd want to marry would be the kind that on the way home tonight, she'd say, did you hear Brother House talk about me tonight? I'm that ugly duckling he was talking about that's so pretty. You see, a sense of humor. You get it? You. Nice to have you back with us. Always glad to have you back. Please, he's laughing. That's the only hope he's got to be pretty is that inner beauty, you know. And but anyway, choose a wife or a husband and be a wife or a husband, the kind that sees humor, the kind that loves to have a good time, and take a joke on yourself. I suppose Brother Terry went home tonight and said, Brother Howe said tonight that I said I like blonde brunettes and redheads, and I didn't say any such thing, and he got up there and just lied, and I just sick and tired of that. Now, wouldn't he be a tremendous fellow? I think it'd be a lot better for him to do what he's going to have to do to keep his job. Now, I'm simply saying that you ought to choose someone as a mate. You know, life is a long, did you know, really, a long journey through life. But young lady, did you know that I used to be good looking? I don't see a thing. Now, this sense of humor of you is going to go too far. I mean, let's go and say, well, now I know what you think about me. But anyway, really, my wife will tell you, I used to be a pretty good looking guy one time. But now, we're still married, and we're going to stay married, and so she's got to take me. And so I'm not what I used to be, and I'm sorry, and sometimes I feel bad about it. But the truth of the matter is, marriage is a lot longer than just till the beauty wears off. Marriage is a long, long time. You have to sit across the table and look at each other's pussies for a long time. You're going to go shopping together. You're going to go driving together. You're going to have to rear children together. You're going to have to eat together, work together, play together, pray together, laugh together, take trips together, go on vacations together. Don't you think you ought to choose someone that's a little enjoyable to be around? Look, Shakespeare said the path of true love never runs smoothly. He was a nut. He was a nitwit in that respect. The path of true love does run smoothly. I'm just miserable. I must be in love. Yeah, you're in Hollywood trashy kind of love. The Bible says perfect love casteth out fear.
perfect love casteth out fear. You ought to choose someone that you love to be around, and someone whose personality complements yours and supplements yours, and you like to take a trip with her, and you like to eat with her, and you can have fun together, and she has a good sense of humor. That kind of person. Look, after you've looked at her and looked at her and looked at her and looked at her and looked at her, she just looked like all the rest of them after a while. You're going to want to have somebody that's kind and has a sense of humor. Okay, let's go down. Next one, please. Verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. The first one there is this. Choose someone who can counsel wisely with your children. Choose someone who can counsel wisely with your children. Now, I'm going to be gone tomorrow and Friday, and my wife will have three of our children alone. Now, that means that if they have a problem, she's got to be able to help them with it. I cannot be there. I must have the kind of wife that will rear them wisely and properly and give them good counsel. In other words, choose someone that has wisdom. Choose someone that has no temper. It says in her tongue is the law of kindness. Choose someone without a hot temper. A couple came to me not long ago wanting to get married. I didn't marry him. They wanted to get married. For about every one that comes to me wanting to get married, there's another one that comes to me I won't marry. Now, folks just fly by night. They call me on Saturday night at 6 o'clock and say, we want to get married. I said, when? And they said, 15 minutes. I hope you find somebody to marry you. For me, I said, marriage is much, much more serious than that. But they came to me and they said, we just fuss all the time. We thought we'd get married, we'd get along better. Boy, they don't know the half of it, do they? Look, I was going with a girl one time, and rather seriously, no, we weren't about to get married, but I liked her, and she liked me, and she was a May Festival queen of the high school. She was the one that at halftime in a football game with about 20,000 people there went out in the evening gown and they gave her the roses and she was the May Festival queen. And she was the queen not only of our high school but of all the high schools. And so I was going with her and so I was supposed to take her. Well, my dad had bought an old car and he'd let me use it and I drove it more than he did, but it was an old beat up Plymouth car. It had cute little signs all over. Back in the days when kids didn't drive Mustangs, drive Barracudas and Barracudas or whatever they are. Back in those days. And so, it was the kind of car, one day it got stuck on the railroad track and had to get out and push it off. Barely got it off the track before the train came. It was two or three colors. Not by choice. It just so happened that the extra fender I found didn't go with the one I had. And it was a jalopy. So, I met her out at the football game because she had to go with her escort. What do you call them? Court, yeah, her court. And so she was the belle of the ball. And so I met her, and she was so nice. And I took her out to the car. She said, are we going in that? I said, yeah. She said, couldn't you borrow somebody's car? I said, I did. She said, you think I'm going to get in that jalopy? I said, I am, and I hope you are. And then she said a slang word, lost her temper, and said, who do you think I am? And I said to her, not out loud, she didn't hear me, but I said, you're a widow. Or an old maid, as far as I'm concerned. We never went together anymore. I'm not going to spend my life listening to somebody blow their stack all the time. I only have one life to live, and I'm not going to spend it. Listen, why don't you shut your big fat mouth? I'm not going to do it. Now, I only have one life to live, and it seems to me. Now, you say, well, what would you do if your wife did? I'd tell her to shut her big fat mouth. I'm simply saying it's not right for you to take somebody's wife and tie them up with a hot-tempered old witch or bat. It's not right.
Now, young men, if you can't get along with that girl you're going with, don't you marry her. If she loses her temper while she's single, she'll lose her temper while she's married. The same thing's true to you young girls. Don't you choose a hot-tempered fella. Choose someone with whom you can get along. It says here, it says, she opened her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. Then in verse 27 it says, she looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Now, here it is. Choose one who will keep a nice house. Choose a wife who will keep a nice house. You say, well, how will I know? Go over to her house sometime when she's not expecting you and look at her room. And if it's all junky, trade it in on a newer model. I wouldn't marry someone that had a junky old room. I know a preacher, a fine preacher, has tremendous knowledge of the Bible. He loves God. He's a soul winner. He's a good pulpiteer. He's now about 60 years of age. He's spent his life in little bitty churches, most of them, because no larger church wants him. You know why? Because his wife keeps the house looking like a garbage dump. Ladies, there's no excuse for you not keeping a clean house. Now, I don't think you have to manicure it, but you can dead sure keep the beds made and keep the cobwebs off the ceiling and keep the dust off the furniture and keep the house clean, the dishes out of the sink, and keep some kind of respectable order in your house. I don't know of anything that make me want to kill my wife anymore. And for her to be a junky house, I'd hate to come home after a hard day's work and find the bed not even touched, wouldn't you? Or the dishes still in the sink. Choose someone who'll keep a good, clean house, and someone that'll have an atmosphere and an air of cleanliness around the house. Once again, check and see how. If she has a bicycle, check and see what kind of shape the bicycle's in. If she has a notebook at school, see what kind of notebook she keeps. See how orderly she is. See how she keeps up the things that she owns. And choose someone who will keep a nice house. And then the last thing for tonight is in verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. What I mean by that? I mean, choose someone who is well bred and can teach your children to be well bred. Do you recall that day that I ate at your house, or some other preacher? Huh? And about 3 days before I came, or the other preacher came, you said to your children, now look, I'm waxing the floors. I don't want you cracking up these floors. I'm polishing the windows. Don't get your fingerprints on the windows. The preacher's coming. And so they had to take off their shoes and walk around the house barefooted for 3 days. And the preacher, you looked out, and here he comes. Hey, here he comes! You little brats, if you don't behave yourself, I'll ring you. Hello, Pastor. Oh, we've been looking for you. Yes. Sweetheart, tell the pastor hello. You little brats, you tell him hello. Hello, yes. I said, tell him hello. Give him some sugar. You little rats, when I said give him some sugar, I'll wring your neck. I'll spank you. Sugar, for the pastor. Oh, they've been looking for you to come. And, oh, boy. Now, why can't you do that all the time when the pastor's not coming? You teach those kids how to behave at home and act right when the pastor's not there, and you won't have to brief them a great deal when the pastor comes. Let me ask you a question. Are you worried sick how your children are going to behave when company comes? Then you've been falling down on your job. Teach your children. Choose a wife that's well-bred and teaches the children to be well-bred. Someone that will rear some children for you that you can be proud of. You bear in mind this, fellas. Your wife's going to have more influence on your children than you are. A lot more than you are. And you better be careful that you choose someone who will rear your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, that does not mean the husband ought not to have anything to do with the kids. The husband ought to help take care of the kids, and ought to help train the kids, and ought to teach the kids. But the wife has more time to teach them. You've heard me say this 1,000 times. My father never taught me a thing. Not a thing. My dad never taught me how to walk.
My dad never taught me how to play ball. My dad never taught me how to be a gentleman. My dad never taught me how to shake hands. My dad never taught me how to carry on a conversation. But my mother did. My mother did. My mother'd get me when I was a kid. I mean the age of this boy on the front row. And she'd say, shake mother's hand. And she'd say, grip it. Grip it hard when you shake. Look me in the eye. Thank you. And I'd have to do it. And if I didn't look her in the eye, look me in the eye. I'd look her in the eye. Shake my hand. Grip it. She said, and when I was a little kid this age, she said, someday you're going to apply for a job. And you're going to be talking to the man about a job, and he's going to hire you or fire you according to whether you shake his hand right and look him in the eye when you talk to him. She said, son, she said, you always call somebody's name when you meet them. Call their name when you see them as you can. Folks love to hear the name call. Again and again and again. Many, many things. She even taught me how to play ball. Though it was a very meager effort, and I learned better after I got through with her little piddling course. But she wanted to teach me. Now it's important. Susanna Wesley had 19 children. She spent an hour with every one of them every week alone. 19 hours she went spent each week teaching John and Charles Wesley and the other 17 children how to be gentlemen. And mothers, you all do the same thing. You all do the same thing. And you ought to choose the kind of wife that'll do that. That'll make it's well bred and that can transfer that breeding into your children. Young men, in closing, how many of you are young men in your teens? 18 young men. All right, listen. The decision about whom you marry is a bigger one than what kind of vocation you choose. What kind of college would you attend? As I said before, you ought to put more thought into it than, is she pretty? Do I tingle when I see her? Does my heart do flip-flops? There's a lot more to it. Suppose I went down, a little fella came in to work at the shoe store, and the salesman said, well, I want to interview you, but I can't hire you. My heart doesn't do flip-flops. Flip-flops don't mean much later on. You ought to choose a wife more carefully than you'd choose anything.